100 years ago in Europe, there was a pastor called Father Moore. He was a great hymn writer. In those days, hymns were like our hip-hop. They were the modern form of music. And every village had a church, and every church had hymns that they sang through their pipe organ accompaniment. So Father Moore was preparing for Christmas in a December just like this 100 years ago, and he sat down with his music director and wrote one of the most beautiful hymns that they'd ever devised. They planned and prepared, they practiced and got ready to present it to the church on Christmas Eve. But the very day of the performance, their beautiful pipe organ failed. It spoiled. In those days, they didn't have drums and congos and keyboards and bass guitars. They only had the pipe organ, and they were going to have to sing the hymn a cappella. Thank God Reverend James wasn't there. Amen. They were disappointed. They thought this beautiful work we've labored over is now just wasted. It's just on paper. But they did what any good pastor would do. They called the organ repairman. In those days, there was no internet, no television, no YouTube, no Facebook. The way that news got around from church to church was through the organ repairman. And when they called the organ repairman and he fixed their organ, Father Moore sat down and taught him this beautiful hymn. And he liked it so much that every church he went to repair organs, every village he went to, he taught them the hymn. And so it spread. So quickly, the disappointment became an appointment. And you and I sing that hymn to today because the organ broke. It's the hymn, Silent Night. God's opportunities are not limited by the problems you face. The difficulties you're going through in your marriage can be an open horizon to bring about the blessing of the Lord in ways you never dreamed possible. Listen, friends, I believe that some of you here today, in spite of the trouble in your marriage, in spite of the difficulties in your relationship, God is going to bring you out as a testimony to others. You're going to write a book or sing a song. You're going to stand in a church and testify, look what the Lord has done. Some of you in troubled marriages right now, you're going to become marriage counselors. God's going to bring you out and unite you and restore you so that He uses you to touch other marriages and touch other lives. If you believe it, say amen. For the Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. So just lift up your hand and say with me today, the Lord's purpose will prevail. The Lord's purpose will prevail in my marriage. The Lord's purpose will prevail in my family. The Lord's purpose will prevail in my relationships. Come on and shout hallelujah. Mary and Joseph were able to move from disappointment to fulfilling and accomplishing God's cause in their family because they dealt with their disappointment. But see, friends, here's the problem. The danger is if we don't deal with the disappointment, it will turn oftentimes to disunity. Mary and Joseph had a choice. Would they get over their disappointment or would they turn on each other? And that brings us to our second truth today. Turn your notes over to page 2 and understand if you will accomplish God's plan for your family, you must dispel disunity. Fill in the blanks with the words, dispel disunity. And just say that with me. I've got to dispel disunity. See, here's the problem with most of us. When things don't go the way we want, we often turn on those close to us. We lash out at others. Sometimes we even lash out at God. We begin to blame. We begin to demand. We begin to accuse and denounce. We compare and complain. And we allow the hardness of offense to build up in our hearts. That's why Malachi 2:15 says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit you are His. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. And no matter how long you've been married, even no matter how happy you are in your marriage, every one of us must guard our heart against the bullet wounds that are inflicted day by day. Every one of us must make sure we don't allow the bullets of bitterness to lodge in us, where scar tissue comes and a hardness begins to develop. God is calling us today to guard our heart. It has to constantly be renewed and softened. And when disappointment comes, there are 3 things we must do to guard our heart. First of all, don't demand. So often when we're disappointed, we begin to manipulate others and demand from them. We're looking for them to make us happy. But listen to Mary's reaction in Luke 1:38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." She didn't complain. She didn't demand. She could have shaken her fist at God and said, "But I must have my wedding. I must have my dress and my bridesmaids." But instead, she yielded. And so often when we're disappointed, we begin to make demands from our spouse and say, "You've got to meet my need." But friend, as long as you seek your happiness from others, you will always have conflict, because no matter how good they are, no matter how they love you, no one can meet your need for happiness completely. No one can give you 100% of what you need all the time. And if you're looking to others to meet your need, you will always have conflict. That's why James 4, 1 and 2 says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you?" And some of you are saying, "What's caused this problem in our marriage? It must be my aunt in the village who's cursing us." But that's not what James says. He says, "Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them." And this is the root of conflict in marriages today. We begin to say, "I want something from you. You're not meeting my needs," so we demand it from them. But friend, you cannot manipulate your husband or wife through demands or fear or guilt. They may acquiesce momentarily, but bitterness begins to build up and you have constant conflict. It's only love that can spur them to do what you need. Reminds me of the story of the sun and the wind. One day the sun and the wind were having an argument about who had more power. The sun said he did, but the wind said he did. And suddenly they looked down and saw a traveler along the road. And the wind said, "I'll show you how strong I am. I'm going to blow so hard that I will force the clothes off the back of the traveler." So a cloud came out and the wind began to blow and the wind began to pummel and beat that traveler. But the more force the wind used, the more the traveler pulled his coat tight around him and kept his cap on his head, resisting the power of the wind. Finally, the wind got tired and stopped. "Well, you've tried," said the sun. "Now it's my turn." And suddenly the sun came out and the cloud went away and the wind died down and the sun gave a big smile and the sun came close and began to embrace that traveler with his very presence. And the man began to unwrap himself and took off his coat and took off his shirt and bundled them on the head for shade. Thus the sun proved he was stronger than the wind. More can be gained in a relationship by love and persuasion than by force and demand. That's why the Akan people say, if you exercise patience, you can even dissect an ant to see its insides. To dispel disunity, don't demand. Now here's the second attack on our unity. To dispel to get rid of disunity, don't despair. Listen to Luke 1:30. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you found favor with God." The Lord knew in that moment of disappointment, in that moment of crisis, Mary could have easily despaired. And when we despair, we tend to run away. We tend to think, "I'm going to give up. I can't possibly make it." When we despair, we feel as if God and His Word have abandoned us. But listen to what happened. Mary continued to believe the Lord. She listened to the Word of God and responded and said, "Yes, I accept that God is with me." And friend, as long as your eyes are on the Lord, He will give you the courage to persevere. That's why James 4, 7, 8, and 10 says, "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor." And I guarantee you, friend, if you begin to pray and cry out to God for your marriage, for your home, for your children, for your parents, if you begin to cry out with passion and fervent desire for God to bring you a mate and bring you a wedding, God is going to hear your prayer and God is going to answer. If you will humble yourself today and begin to pour out with passion your heart to God, He's going to meet your need and bless your home. He's going to restore love in your family and turn your family around. If you believe it, say amen. And the fact is, some of you don't need to listen to another series. Some of you don't need to read another book. Some of you don't need to go to counseling. You need to get on your knees and humble yourself before God and say, Lord, deliver me. I'm desperate. I'm disappointed. God, come and save my home. And God is going to hear and answer you today. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. The third thing you need to do to dispel disunity, don't denounce. Sometimes we accuse the person who's disappointed us. We begin to make blame upon them. Joseph could have easily done that, but in Matthew 1:24, the Bible says, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. He didn't begin to point a finger and say, what have you done? He didn't begin to accuse her and say, you're just like your mother. Look at you pregnant. He didn't begin to attack her or blame her. He accepted her and forgave her. I don't know how I would have responded in that situation, but Joseph gives an example of not blaming others. That's why James 4:11 says, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. And if the Word of God commands us not to criticize and judge even other brothers and sisters in Christ, how much less should we criticize and judge our spouse, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh? For as long as you blame others for your unhappiness, you'll always be unhappy. You can't fix the problem when you're fixing the blame. That's why even if you're not married here today, you need to guard your heart against the bullets of bitterness. For if you come into the marriage home with the wounds and the scars from other relationships, it will make your home miserable. Proverbs 30, 21 to 23 says, there are four things that are unbearable. A hateful woman who finds a husband. And unless you deal with the problem in your own heart, no matter the prince charming who marries you, your home will be unbearable. Because if you're looking to someone else and blaming them for your unhappiness, you'll always be unhappy. Once there was a couple that had been married for 15 years. For some reason, suddenly they started having trouble. They started quarreling and fighting. It got so bad, the wife said, we've got to do something to fix this problem. So here's what we're going to do. Every time you do something I don't like, I'm going to write it on a paper, put it in a basket. At the end of the month, you can read them and see what you've done wrong. And then if I happen to do anything wrong, you can write it down, put it in a basket. At the end of the month, I'll read it. So the husband agreed. So every time the husband did something she didn't like, she wrote on the paper, put it in the basket. And every time the wife did something the husband didn't like, he wrote on a paper, put it in the basket. At the end of the month, she got her basket and gave it to him, said, read these and see where you're going wrong. The husband opened one. I left my dirty clothes in a pile. I didn't pay the ECG bill. I didn't help discipline the children. I refused to visit my in-laws. And on the list went. The man said, well, I see this. Then he gave his basket to the wife. She picked up one paper. It said, I love you. Picked up another paper. I love you. Picked up a third paper. I love you. Picked up a fourth paper. I love you. For the Bible says, love keeps no record of wrong. Every time. Every time she offended him, he forgave her and loved her. Friend, you've got to stop blaming. You've got to stop denouncing. For the powerful truth is, you will feel what you focus. If you're always focusing on your husband's faults, you will feel anger. But if you're always focusing on the good things about him, you will feel love for him. Mary and Joseph could have been torn apart by their disappointment, but instead they united. They didn't demand, they didn't despair, they didn't denounce. They came together and found the third truth. Turn your notes over to page 3. They drove out doubt. Just take your pen and fill in the blanks. Drive out doubt. You see, it came down to the fact that Mary and Joseph had to believe the word of God. They had to deal with the disappointment and dispel the disunity so that they could face their future in faith. God had called them to do something. God had given them a cause. God had brought them together for a purpose and for a destiny. And as long as they allowed disappointment or disunity or doubt to steal that from them, they could not have provided a home for Jesus to be raised in. But they clung to the promises of God. They listened and believed God's word. Listen to the powerful promises God gave them. In Matthew 1:21, it says, "You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." In Matthew 12:21, the Bible says, "His name will be the hope of the whole world." Mary and Joseph had powerful promises that God had brought them together to use them for a purpose of bringing salvation and deliverance and healing to the world, to bring hope to the nations. And these powerful promises guided them through. And I believe God is giving you powerful promises for your future as well today. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your destiny. Someone is counting upon you. Your children are counting on you to be strong in your marriage and raise them with an example of what a good husband and a good wife should be. Your neighbors are counting upon you to live as Christ intended, that they might see the light of God's glory in you. Your nation is counting upon you to build families on the foundation of God's word so that we can make progress right here in Ghana. The world is counting on you. The church is counting on you. God is counting on you. So don't give in. Don't give up. Don't get disappointed. Don't allow these things to block your way. Whenever you're tempted to lose hope in your marriage, remember the story of the fern and bamboo. For you may have been planted in the ground for a long time without seeing the blossom, but God says it's coming forth in my time. For you see, when you plant a fern, within just a few days, it grows up. And ferns are lovely. They're seen all around the world. They show off their lacy green beauty instantly. But a bamboo is quite different. When you plant a bamboo in the soil for 5 good years, there's no sprout. There's no evidence. There's no shoot of that bamboo plant. And the ferns are blowing in the breeze and laughing, saying, "Whatever happened to that bamboo?" But after 5 years, the roots have gone down deep and the soil has made the plant strong. And after 5 years, that bamboo begins to come up out of the earth. At first, it's just a little sprout. But 6 months after coming from the ground, the bamboo stands 30 meters high, towering as one of the kings of the jungle. Friends, some of you in that place today where you've been planted in the ground, you feel forgotten, you feel forsaken, you think your marriage is over, but God is simply using those circumstances and disappointments to dig your roots deep. And you're coming out. You're going to blossom. You're going to come out and show. It may be small at first. It may be something simple. The acts of love, the acts of forgiveness may take time. But quickly, suddenly, miraculously, God is going to elevate your marriage and home and bring you into a place of strength where you will tower over others. You're not forgotten. Your life is not dormant. You have the promise of God. In Romans 9:33, anyone who trusts in him will never be disappointed. If you put your trust in God today, you will never be disappointed. You won't be disappointed in your marriage. You won't be disappointed in your relationships. When you put your trust in him and drive out doubt, believe his promise, you will never be disappointed. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that anyone who trusts in the Lord will never be disappointed. And I want to encourage you today to put your full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe God for greater things in your marriage. If you've not been married yet, believe God that your marriage is going to be the best that it could possibly be, and that you will achieve God's destiny together with your life partner. If you're married today, no matter what condition your marriage home is in, I want you to believe God that he's going to revive it and restore it and rebuild it and make it the fulfillment of your dream and of His destiny for your life. If you believe it, say amen and amen. Today we've come to the conclusion of our Covenant Home sermon series, and I know it's been a blessing in your life. That's why I want to encourage you to go to my website at www.revrcw.com, find the sermon notes, find the study guides, begin to put them into practice, get into the Word of God, do it together with your husband or your wife or your fiancé, and begin to study and see what God says about His plan for your home. Also, I want to encourage you today to follow me on Facebook. You can find me at Rev. Richard C. Whitcomb. There you'll find my Facebook page. I have well over 200,000 followers. Join in with them and get daily inspiration that will encourage you not only in your marriage, but also in your personal life as well. Well, it's been a great joy being with you throughout this series of Covenant Home. The good news is we're not done yet at Revelation. We've got another exciting series coming up next week. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be another life-transforming, God-glorifying series right here on Revelation. Until next week then, may God richly bless you and watch over you. I'm trusting God for your marriage and for your life, that it will be better than ever. In Jesus' name, may God in His love be with you. I'll see you next week. Goodbye for now.